the Alternative Stories and Fake Realities podcast. Audio drama, poetry, fiction.
You're listening to the Alternative Stories and Fake Realities podcast. My name's Kelly Winkler, and this week on the podcast, we'll be looking at the increasingly popular genre known as climate fiction. And we'll talk to two exponents of it, Anna Orridge and Kevin Manwaring, later in the show. We'll also have previews of two upcoming cli-fi audio dramas by these authors that we'll feature soon as part of the autumn season on Alternative Stories and Fake Realities. If you're a regular listener to the podcast, you'll know that our autumn season is dedicated to climate and environment-related fiction and drama. We started with our four-part audio drama, Anglia, set in 2029, with the effects of climate change starting to impact on a low-lying coastal community in eastern England. Last week, in our spoken word poetry special, we looked at a piece by Canterbury-based poet Nancy Gawfield, looking at the ecology, coastline, and environment of southern Kent. Coming next, we have two pieces of drama adapted from a short story and a novel. Both fall very firmly into the camp of cli-fi, or climate fiction, and we'll be looking a bit more closely at what the genre means shortly. But first, Backdrop is adapted from a short story of the same name by Croydon-based climate fiction author Anna Orridge. We'll hear more about the origins and inspirations for Backdrop from Anna in a moment. But first, here's a preview of the drama.
The sunset's amazing, too. One of the few things that has become more glorious since the withering. It's largely the result of chemicals in the atmosphere, of course. They pump tons and tons of the stuff up there to try to reflect solar radiation back into space, or remove pollutants from the atmosphere. None of it really worked, except to give our sunsets breathtaking colours. But at the end of the day, you have to grasp any beauty you can find.
Hello, Laura. My name is Backdrop. I'm an interactive world-building software package developed by Glassworks Media.
So, what do you want to work on first?
I get to choose.
Oh yeah, sure. It's best for you to go with your own desires at first, so you feel comfortable. I'll show you my current backdrop. It might give you some inspiration. You'll just need to put these iPads on first.
Okay.
Backdrop, take us to the casino.
The curves of those riverside skyscrapers built in the early part of the century seem beautiful tonight, too. Their strange contours like sails puffed out by the wind. They act as massive moorings for the thousands of houseboats strung out along the bloated lake of the Thames now.
You reported an error. At least have the decency to let me try to fix it.
I've lost something. Something important, and she's...
I'm sorry. Your previous backdrop has either been deleted or sold on. There is no error.
We're creating a library of landscapes, experiences, you name it, captured before they all disappear.
I know this is a bit out of order, but I want to know, I need to know why I got this job. Do you mind me asking?
Sure, Laura. Backdrop favors people around your age. Those born when you were have clear memories of the world before the withering. You're the lucky ones. Or unlucky, I suppose, since you remember the way things used to be.
Let's get started. Please choose your time and location.
Dad had been dead for 10 years, yet Mum was still trying to squirrel away the things he disapproved of. I feel this burning anger on her behalf, slowly building, exceeding even the temperature of the scalding pavements of London in late summer. Hot enough to fry eggs on. Hot enough to grill flesh and char bone.
Ow, you're hurting me. Backdrop, pause.
Backdrop, pause. Backdrop, pause. Backdrop, pause. Backdrop, pause. Backdrop, pause.
I'm Anna Orridge, a writer and freelance language tutor from Croydon. I've written short fiction that has appeared in various anthologies and journals, which spans quite a wide range of genres, but is usually politically charged and ecologically conscious. I'm also currently writing a children's novel, which will be a spooky story set in Croydon.
Can you tell us a bit about how you came to write Backdrop and the reception it received, please?
Backdrop had quite a convoluted beginning, in that I started the story as pretty much a straight science fiction tale. I started thinking about how our work environments might change in the future and became fascinated by the idea of virtual reality not just being a form of entertainment or escape, but actually becoming intertwined with people's everyday working lives. I drafted it off and on for a couple of years, and the climate change element seeped in slowly. I think because I was working in and around London at the time, often near London Bridge, and because I was involved in green activism of various kinds, I couldn't help but wonder how the city would change if we continued on the trajectory we did. And so a deluged London became part of the story. So the main character is threatened not only by the rising tide of her own memories, but also by the very real risk of tidal surges of the Thames. When the story was published by MIR Online, I was pleasantly surprised by the positive feedback it received, as it's really quite a dark and strange story, and far more oriented around technology than my work normally would be.
You describe yourself as a cli-fi writer. What do you understand by that tag? And do you think this is a genre we're going to see more of in the future?
Climate change fiction, or cli-fi, has often been seen as a genre of sci-fi, which focuses on future scenarios dominated by climate change. So this could be very dark and dystopian, showing civilization near collapse or even past it. Or it could be solarpunk, which encourages a more optimistic view of a future which is certainly deeply impacted by climate change and ecological crisis, but which depicts a world that has been transformed by technology and radical social justice. My own work tends to fall somewhere in the middle of that spectrum. As it happens, I don't think cli-fi necessarily needs to be set in the far or even near future any longer. It can be set in the present, because we are now living with the effects of climate change. And we've seen that with the recent wildfires in California and Australia, as well as the alarming temperature spikes in the Arctic. And of course, many communities in the global south have been living with the adverse effects of climate change for many, many years. So any piece of contemporary fiction that has the ecological crisis as a major theme could be classed as cli-fi. And I think we'll be seeing more and more of that in the years to come. Some of the fiction I find most powerful, in fact, is where climate change is not directly referenced so much, but runs through the story as a source of anxiety or inconvenience or unease. And this is quite important because Hollywood in particular, when it deals with climate change, tends to zoom in on the apocalyptic elements, the floods or huge wildfires. And of course, unfortunately, we will certainly see those, even if the Paris Accords are now respected, as seems likely after the US election, we will struggle to keep warming within 2 degrees. A great deal of the damage is now baked in, but for many people, it'll be more like a steady accumulation of small, mundane miseries. Life will continue, but the obstacles will slowly mount up. And I think it's important fiction reflects that and helps people and communities to prepare.
Can you tell us a little about the world in which Backdrop is set? And what can our listeners expect from the drama?
Backdrop is set in a London of the indeterminate future. The parts of the city around the Thames have been largely inundated, but London as a whole is just about clinging on. However, life has been transformed. Air pollution is rampant and is playing havoc with everyone's health. Most people toil in jobs that involve salvaging decaying infrastructure to either garner power or grow food. The thriving cultural and financial life of the city that we see now has more or less disappeared, but there are some shrinking islands of wealth and privilege left. Because life has become incredibly hard, virtual reality is now about bringing back as much of the past as it can, rather than attempting to locate us in an exciting, shiny future. Backdrop is the name of the tech company which our protagonist Laura has started to work for, and it specialises in mining people's memories for exactly this sort of vivid escape and nostalgia. The drama focuses on Laura's inner life, her deeply unhappy childhood, and the way she uses technology to bring back her experiences and interrogate them.
In Backdrop, you can hear Marie Claire Wood as Laura, Harry Rhys Jones as Marvin, Kelly Costigan as the administrator, Kelly Winkler as the voice of Backdrop, and Chris Gregory as Laura's father. Backdrop will be out on Friday, 20th November.
The Alternative Stories and Fake Realities Podcast. Audio drama, poetry, fiction.
Please subscribe by searching Alternative Stories in your favorite podcast app to listen to Backdrop and all our climate fiction and other content. Next up, we'll look at a three-part drama we'll be sharing in late November and early December. Black Box is part sci-fi, part cli-fi. Here's its author to introduce it.
Hello, my name is Dr. Kavan Manwari, and I'm a writer and a lecturer in creative writing at the University of Winchester. I write across the different genres and modes, fiction, poetry, script, interactive narrative, and now audio drama. And it was a pleasure to adapt my prize-winning science fiction novel, Black Box, into these first three pilot episodes for Alternative Stories.
Can you tell us a little about how you came to write Black Box, please?
Well, during my time at the University of Leicester, where I did my research degree between 2014 and 2018, I came across some really interesting research that was being done on campus into artificial intelligence and space exploration. Leicester is the home of the National Space Centre, and there is some serious kind of research going on there into exploring the solar system, and indeed some actual components are made for various satellites in the clean room on campus, which I showed for various projects, and they've been involved in missions to the moon and to the Mars even. And this is really exciting. I remember being shown around there by a fellow academic, a colleague at the University of Leicester, whom I called Dr. Jupiter, and I think his real name is Jonathan Nichols, and you know, it's really inspiring to just hear him talk about what they were doing and how they're involved in some serious plans to reach out to Jupiter and its moons. They're involved in the Juno project, a NASA-led project exploring some of Jupiter's moons, and it was really thrilling to hear about all this stuff. And another chap I got to meet while at Leicester is somebody called Jeremy Leavesley, professor of mathematics. I called him the AI guy. And again, hearing him talk about artificial intelligence research that was taken on campus was really inspiring. And I got a writing commission to explore AI through creative writing. And all this fell into the pot. But really, the journey started way back in my childhood when I first started to get interested in science fiction and fantasy by watching Doctor Who. on telly. I think it was on Saturday Tea Times. And all the other stuff that came out in the late 70s, early 80s. Once I saw Star Wars at the cinema, the very first Star Wars movie when it came out, I was hooked and had to watch anything with special effects in. Not much of that was particularly any good, but it all fed my young imagination. And then I, of course, got into reading novels and eventually writing them. And now I teach creative writing, and it's really thrilling to be actually exploring imaginative or speculative worlds through my writing and with the help of a creative team, a very talented creative team here at Alternative Stories.
We're putting Black Box out as part of our climate season, and we're sharing a number of pieces within that season that fit into a genre that's starting to be called cli-fi. Can you give us some thoughts on the role of fiction in addressing the issues around the changing climate?
So I believe fiction has a real place to play in exploring the challenges of climate change, the climate crisis. I mean, we have to kind of tackle this on all fronts, but we also have to engage hearts and minds and win people over with powerful, evocative stories that explore the challenges, but also the opportunities of the climate crisis. And I'm really interested in what's called cli-fi. I've been involved in creative writing and environment projects since the early noughties. But there's been a real explosion in this cli-fi subgenre, and I would argue that Black Box falls into that category, as well as a couple of my other novels, Thunder Road and The Knowing. So this is something I've been interested in for a number of years. I'm really excited to be, I think, part of this in some small way, because it's the biggest subject, really, and I think no writer worth a salt can ignore it. We have to kind of address it in some way. And it doesn't have to be with a post-apocalyptic kind of scenario. It can be in all kinds of ways. I think it's about redressing our relationship to the earth, to all living things, to the ecosystem that we are part of.
Finally, what can our listeners expect from Black Box?
Well, an adventure story, a thrilling adventure story. I wanted to tell a rattling yarn, one that would sweep the reader along or the listener along, as I've been by many science fiction and fantasy stories over the years. So although it's informed by, you know, actual research into space exploration, Jupiter's moons, artificial intelligence, deep ecology, I wanted it to be a thrilling adventure story. It works on all kinds of levels. To give you a sort of summary, a flavour of the plot, in brief, it explores the consequences of exploration of the solar system and beyond. A desperate mission to find water and the possibility of life on one of Jupiter's moons is set against a backdrop of a dying Earth. It explores notions of consciousness, both human and non-human, and challenges the anthropocentric view of the universe. If we were to encounter extraterrestrial life, would we even be able to register its presence if it was so other? So there come three narratives at play in Black Box, and you'll get a flavour of them, a taste of them, in the pilot episodes. Some of it's set on Jupiter's moon Europa. Some of it's set in deep space aboard what I call an Ark ship, Ithaca, and some set within a kind of closed room scenario where the captain is being interrogated about his possible involvement in the murder of his entire crew. So it's in one way a mystery in space, a murder mystery in space, an adventure story, but also something that is quite metaphysical, can work on many different levels. So it's a bit of a puzzle, which I hope the listener will enjoy piecing together over the coming episodes. We've got a fantastic lineup of talent involved, top-notch actors, the incredible talents of Chris Gregory with his audio wizardry, and, you know, a great team, basically. So I really hope you look forward to it. I can't wait to hear what you think. Thank you very much.
We were humanity's last hope. A message in a bottle cast out into the cold ocean of space, hoping to find a friendly shore. The Earth-like planet of Proxima B in the Proxima Centauri system. Our bottle, the Ark ship Ithaca, sent off to the nearest star, powered by dark light drive, which harvested the universe's most abundant resource. Like a whale plankton, carrying the flora and fauna, seeds and cells needed to begin a new Earth. After nearly 20 years, it had reached the target planet, but a malfunction had left it stuck in orbit, running dangerously low of the most precious resources in the universe, water. The vast ship, 10 black orb-shaped biomes, attached to the central hub, 700 miles long, hosted a portable tree of life. Genetically engineered breeding pairs from stored DNA, the recovery files of a biosphere with which they could reboot Project Earth elsewhere. Tropical rainforest, temperate forest, and grasslands. Boreal forest, savanna, Mediterranean, desert and scrub, taiga, mountain, freshwater, and ocean. The live feeds and data streams showed the kingdoms going about their animalia, plantae, fungi, protistae, and monrae business. Life signs were okay, the atmosphere breathable, but the water was getting tired out, silted, its chemical composition changing despite the filters. No human crew aboard. What had become of them remained a mystery. And time was running out.
Trailers for sale or rent. Rooms to let 50 cents.
Captain Lake, given a choice between a life sentence and a one-way trip to Proxima Centauri, the former commander of the catastrophic Europa mission had opted for the latter. To pilot a vast iceberg through space to the stranded Ark ship. 18.5 years into the mission, his daily rounds monitoring the condition of the ice his tug ship pulled had become second nature. He could practically do them in his sleep.
King of the road.
Sentience, open up. I'm freezing my butt off out here. Well, might as well enjoy the view. That is one large chunk of ice. About the size of Iceland, they say. The most precious resource in the universe. A nimbus of thrusts along its flanks. Coronas like lunar rainbows. Listen to yourself, sounding like a poet. You're just a janitor. Sentience controls the thrusters, the navigation. You're just the icy delivery guy.
Decontamination and depressurization protocols commencing.
Captain Lake, welcome back.
Good morning, Captain. Did you have a nice sleep? Coffee?
F*** off.
In the clips, you heard Danielle Ellett, Louis Watson, and Charlie Richards. We'll be dramatizing the first three parts of Black Box this autumn. Once again, please make sure you are subscribed to the podcast to have Backdrop, Black Box, and all other content delivered to you each week. We release podcasts most Fridays, and you can follow us on Twitter, where we post as @storiesalt. and on Instagram, where we're at stories.alt, to find out what's coming up and to interact with our writers, actors, and listeners. Please watch our Twitter feed in the next few days for details of how you could win prizes related to our recent content. We have 3 signed copies of Rackline, the new album by Faye Heald, to give away. Faye was one of the writing team for our drama Hairspell, and the story was inspired by songs from the album. If you listen to Hairspell, you'll recognize a couple of the songs which appeared in the soundtrack. Next week, we'll have 3 copies of the novel Mother of Floods by Madeline F. White to give away. Our drama, The Ark, was adapted from an episode within Mother of Floods. To be in with a chance of winning these and other prizes, all you need to do is retweet our tweets announcing the prizes. Our pilot episodes of Black Box, the audio drama, begin on Friday, 27th of November. We'd like to take the opportunity to recommend another work of climate fiction to our listeners. America City is a novel by British novelist Chris Beckett. Set 100 years from now, the world of America City is one of climate chaos, in which droughts, floods, storms, and increasing temperatures are causing mass migration across the United States. As the exodus north continues, America's leaders start to look for more radical solutions to accommodate the displaced masses. When British-born publicist Holly Peacock is approached by an uncompromising senator tasked with keeping the country together, she has to choose between taking the job he offers her or staying true to her environmental and liberal principles. America City is published by Corvus and available from Blackwell's, and as an ebook from Amazon. We'll post a link to a free taster of the book in our show notes. Thank you to Anna Orridge and Kevin Manwaring for appearing on today's podcast. The presenter in today's podcast has been me, Kelly Winkler. Sound design, editing, and audio drama production was by Chris Gregory, with sound effects from freesound.org. Thank you for listening to Alternative Stories and Fake Realities. Join us next week for Backdrop by Anna Orridge.
The Alternative Stories and Fake Realities podcast. Audio drama, poetry, fiction.